We see it all the time in the tabloids with the celebrities. One day they're a megastar, next thing you know, they're a shooting star. They're fallen from heaven, aren't they? You don't need to impress anybody but God. So submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Avoiding Satan's Snares and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
So today we're going to be talking about avoiding Satan's snare. How many of you in here know that Satan's real? Some people don't believe in Satan. Some people don't believe in Satan. Some Christians don't believe in Satan. I tell you, he's real. Jesus spoke of Satan. So if everybody that can stand, please do so for the reading of God's holy word. We'll be reading out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8, and I will be reading out of the NIV today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Holy Father, we come to you in thanksgiving, God, and we praise your name, Lord. We thank you, God, for this gathering, and God, I pray that you'll protect this church, protect every person in here, Lord, and to bless us with understanding and revelation of your word today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, and I thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. Avoiding Satan's snares. Be self-controlled and alert, the scripture tells us. You see, there's parts in our Christian walk that are entirely up to us. God will not do it all for us. Be self-controlled and alert. Let's think about this for a moment. First of all, self-control is your responsibility, is my responsibility. We all agree on that? Self-control is the individual's responsibility. I can't control you. And nobody likes to be controlled, do they? So therefore, your actions are your responsibility. Amen? So Peter tells us in this verse to be self-controlled. Because when we lose control of ourselves, the enemy, Satan, has an opportunity to come in and devour us, to hurt us, to destroy us, to take from us. So be self-controlled, Peter warns us, and to be alert. Because listen, when you're not thinking about it, that's when Satan's doing his best work. He doesn't want you to know that he exists. That's his biggest gimmick. I don't exist. Whereas Christ wants you to know and believe in him, Satan actually doesn't want you to know a thing about him. He does not want you to be alert to his schemes. That way he can come up and sneak attack and get you. That's why you're to be alert. Understand that he is out there. Now listen, it says your enemy. That's the next part of this verse. Your enemy. Whose enemy? Say my enemy. Is Satan, the devil. He's your enemy. He's not your friend. You're not going to negotiate anything with Satan. You're not going to make a deal with the devil and come out ahead. He is your enemy. He is not your friend. So when you hear from the devil, you'll know it's him because he's always leading you towards destruction. Now listen, it says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He prowls. You know what that means? He's looking. He's searching. He's intentional in his actions. Think about that for a moment. You could be minding your own business, not even thinking about him, not being alert, not controlling yourself, and he's out searching for you. He's hunting you. He's hunting me. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. Now, why would he put the word roaring? Because listen, the devil can't make you do anything. People like to say the devil made him do it. Nonsense. He can't make you do a thing. But what he does is he tells you lies. He manipulates. He conceals the truth. And you know, when we hear from the devil, it's almost like a roar. It's not a peaceful feeling hearing from Satan, is it? That's not the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ talking to us. That's the devil when he's telling you to commit that sin, or he's telling you to worry about something, or he's telling you to strike out at somebody. Whatever the evil deed may be, he's screaming it into your ear to get you to act on his will, not Jesus Christ. And it says that he's looking for someone to devour. Now listen, the stakes are high. The stakes are high. When you play the devil's game, you aren't playing a game at all. Because the outcome of this game, if he has his way, is to destroy you. Listen, the Bible says that he comes to do three things: to lie, to steal, and to kill. To lie, to steal, and to kill. He doesn't care what it is of yours. He will lie about it. He will take it from you. And when he's beaten you down as far as he can take you, he will attempt to kill you. He's very crafty. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to glorify the devil here by saying all of these things. These are true attributes about him. I'm stating the obvious, or at least I'm stating the truth about him, whether or not it's obvious to you. Now it should be that the devil is not playing a game. He is looking for someone to devour. He is looking for someone who is not self-controlled. He is looking for someone who is not alert. And when he finds that person, he is going to start lying to them. He's going to start taking from them. And ultimately, he wants to destroy them. Praise be all to God that we had the victory over Satan through Christ. Because we cannot stand against Christ, we cannot stand against the devil without Christ. We cannot fight off the devil in our own strength. We need Jesus Christ, and we need to apply the word of God against the devil in order to beat him. So today I'm going to talk about some ways that we can avoid Satan's snares. And I hope that I have every ear perked up. That you are all going to listen to what I have to say, because I will tell you something. The devil will get into your marriage. The devil will get into your health. The devil will get into your finances. The devil will get into anything that he can, including your children. And he will steal them from you. He will destroy them if he can. He's not playing a game. And when you come crying and moaning and weeping, he feels no sorrow for you. In fact, it makes him laugh all the harder that he's beaten you down to your knees and you're grieving over what he's done. That is his reward. Your suffering is Satan's reward. You were made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. Satan hates God. He is the Antichrist. He can't do nothing to God. But he sure can do something to a person who is not self-controlled, who is not alert, who is not in the Word of God, who is not following Jesus, who is not linked up with fellow believers in prayer. So let's go over this. Number one, do not stray from God and his Word. This is the first principle to avoid Satan's snares. Let me read it again. Do not stray from God and his word. Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. Now, Psalmist tells us that before he was afflicted, he was doing anything he wanted to do. He was living his way. He was going astray from God, but his sins caught up with him. The devil caught up with him. Let me tell you something. Anybody that's involved in sin is involved with the devil. But now listen, now that the psalmist was afflicted, he's had a change of mind. But now I obey your word. See, he figured out that it's better to be with God than to be away from God. Because you might be enjoying what you're into, the sin that you're into, for a season. But there's a consequence. And it may not happen right away, but it's going to happen. So this psalmist, he realized, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. Christians sometimes neglect their prayer life, and they fail to study God's word as they should. When they do this, they begin to stray. Prayer life. What's it all about? It's talking to God. But it's more than that. We all like to talk, but what about listening to God? That's part of prayer. Conversation is a two-way street, is it not? You talk to somebody long enough who's not talking back to you, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to be exchanged. No ideas are going to be exchanged. You need two-way communication. But see, sometimes we fall short and we neglect our prayer life with God, or our prayer life is weak. We come to God when trouble starts instead of coming to God when there is no trouble. A friend of mine who was an emergency room doctor told me there are no atheists sick in the emergency room. Think about that. No atheists sick in the emergency room. Because when trouble hits, people pray. But see, it shouldn't be that way. Christians should be praying without ceasing. We should pray always. And listen, they fail. Some Christians fail to study God's word as they should. Some Christians don't even pick up the Bible until Sunday comes and they hold it in their hand. Now, see, I'm not condemning anybody up here. That's not what I want to do. I want to instruct. God's word is food for our soul. It helps us defeat the lies of the devil. It keeps us strong in Christ. Now, listen. When Christians neglect their prayer life and they neglect the study of God's word, when they do this, they begin to stray. Your soul's not being fed. You're not hearing from God because you're not talking to God. And even if he's talking to you, you're not listening if you're neglecting these two things. So what happens? You start to drift away. It may not happen overnight. It may not even be intentional, but sin nature. See, we all have it. We all have the sin nature within us. That nature that pulls away from God, that walks away from God. The flesh doesn't want to read God's word. The flesh doesn't want to talk to God. Talk about the flesh here. We neglect those things. We neglect our spirit. We neglect our relationship with the Lord. And then we begin to stray. And this is one of the snares of Satan. You don't need to read your Bible today. You could do it later on tonight, but by that time you're tired and you just want to go to bed. So he says, well, you can read it in the morning, but by that time you're busy. You got to get up. You're running late. You got to do something else. You got to go to work, got to go to school, whatever it is. He's going to keep you busy away from God's word. When you finally do pick it up, he'll say, this is too complicated to understand. This is too hard to read. This is taking too long. This is too much trouble. This is too boring. Whatever the case. He may be saying, whatever he may be saying to you, he's going to lie to you to keep you out of the word. But ultimately, it's your self-control, your discipline that will have to stand up against him with the word of God and say, the Lord wants me to read his word. He wants me to talk to him. He wants me to pray. Some lack the courage to say no to non-Christian friends. They yield to the old life and become victims of Satan's snares. Now, let me explain this, what I'm saying. When you have a friend that's not a believer in Christ, they're into things that don't agree with the living of a Christian, with the standards of God's people. Okay, and so these people who are non-believers, if they're your friend, they can coax you into doing things that you don't want to do. Or maybe you do want to do them, which is a no-no either way. But the point here is that if you surround yourself around non-believers, you are subject to more temptations because you just want to go along with the crowd. You don't want to disappoint anybody. Besides, you might have a little fun in the process. You got to be careful about the friends that you pick. It's better to have one Christian friend than 50 non-believers around you. I know this. It's better to have a few in Christ than many of non-believer friends. It truly is. Friends are good. I love my friends. I love my family. But you have to be careful that you know who you're dealing with when you're around them. And don't be around them when they're doing the things that you know is against God's word. We must guard our devotional life diligently, drawing near to God daily. We must take our stand boldly for God, staying away from Satan's territory. Christians don't need to be going to bars. Christians don't need to be cutting up with their friends when they're doing things that don't line up with the word of God. We need to stay out of Satan's territory. We don't need to have curse words coming out of our mouths just because our non-believing friends are doing it. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 reads, "Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now let's look at this verse because it says a mouthful, doesn't it? Submit yourselves. There's that self-control again, right? Submitting yourselves to God. That's who you're submitting to. You're not submitting to yourself. You're not submitting to the devil. You're not submitting to your friends or your family. You're not doing what pleases them or yourself. You're doing what pleases God. That's who you need to impress. Stop trying to impress the world. You're not doing it. Believe me. You're on top one day with people, and they'll throw you to the bottom the next. We see it all the time in the tabloids with the celebrities. One day they're a megastar. Next thing you know, they're a shooting star. They're falling from heaven, aren't they? You don't need to impress anybody but God. So submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil. Submitting yourself to God is synonymous with resisting the devil. If you're submitting yourself to God, you won't be submitting yourself to the devil. You'll be resisting him. And he will flee from you. Satan don't want to mess around with a devoted child of God because he knows he's wasting his time because the strength of Christ is flowing through that person. Listen to this. This is important. The devil will harass you. He will mess with you. But more than that, he will ultimately, if he can, destroy you. He will do it. And he won't think twice about it. But when we submit ourselves to God, guess what? He's got no ground to stand on, and he's going to move on. He's going to move on. Now listen, now it says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now see, I preach of a relationship, not a religion. You got to think about this in your own aspect of your own relationships. Now listen to this. If you have a friend who's not drawing near to you, are you going to open up to them? If you got a person that's in your life who isn't trusting you, who isn't drawing near to you, are you going to draw near to them? No, a friendship is a two-way road. When you get close to somebody, they get close back, don't they? Don't they? Or at least that's the way it should work. So listen, come near to God, and he will come near to you. People always tell me, I don't feel God. When's the last time you prayed to him? When's the last time you opened up his word and read from it, seriously studying his word? When's the last time you drew near to God? Wash your hands. If there's something in your life that is keeping you from God, cleanse it with the blood of Jesus. Purify your hearts. If there's something you're thinking about in your heart, something like maybe it's an attitude you might have, purify it with the word of God. Let Jesus come and have his way in your life. Submit yourself. Then it says, you double-minded. Why does he put that in all of this? He writes at the end of this verse, you double-minded. Well, there you have it. Double-mindedness will keep you from God. Because on one hand, you want the things of the world. On one hand, you don't believe. On the other hand, you want the things of God. On the other hand, you do believe. But it's still double-mindedness. You can't swim the length of the swimming pool if you only got 1 foot in the pool. You're going nowhere. You're just sticking your foot in the water and seeing how it feels. Well, it's too cold to get in and it's too warm to get out. Double-mindedness. You can't have it in the kingdom. You can't have it. You got to submit yourself fully to God. Number two, to avoid Satan's snares, don't be prideful. Don't be prideful. And before you start thinking about what I'm talking about, just remember that pride comes in many forms. But let's read Proverbs 16, verse 8. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride isn't all about what you have sitting in your home or what kind of car you're driving out of the driveway. That's just another form of pride. There's all kinds of pride. Some Christians lack humility altogether. No one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me how to live, including God. They desire the praise and honor of people rather than the approval of God. They want to look good in front of everybody else. They want to be respected by everybody else. And they're searching for everyone else's approval and not even searching for God's. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. The religious leaders of Jesus' time had it out for him. And there were leaders among the leaders that believed in him but would not confess it because they wanted the approval of man rather than of God. Do you follow this? They forsaked Jesus for the sake of somebody else, for a person, for a human being that was not Jesus. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Christians do this today. Not all of us. I'm talking about there are weak Christians that fall into this trap. And it's really sad because they're missing out on the approval of God on their lives. I've known Christians not to proclaim God at work because someone might disapprove. Yet there's people, even in the workplace, that need to hear about Jesus. Jesus, our example, was humble. He declared that he could do nothing by himself, but he depended on the Father. He pleased his Father. John chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Jesus did everything that pleased the Father. And he was humble enough to do it. He was humble enough to state that. He could do nothing without the Father. Jesus was totally dependent upon God. See, people think that Jesus in the flesh had the power of God. But what they don't realize is that God in heaven bore himself into flesh. And that flesh itself had no power. It had no more power than you and I did. Oh, you're learning something today, aren't you? A lot of people thought that the flesh of Jesus Christ had the power. But Jesus just said, it's not me doing these things. It's the Father through me. Are we getting this? Are we catching this? This principle here? That Jesus in the flesh surrendered his power for our sakes to be an example of how we're to submit to God. If Jesus did not pray, if Jesus did not know the Word of God and study it and submit himself to it and walk the holy life, he wouldn't have been able to do any of these things because God won't answer the prayers of a sinner. Yes, Jesus was divine. Yes, Jesus was God in the flesh, but the flesh did not have the power. The Father had the power, and it was working through the flesh of Jesus Christ. Yes, they were one in the same. God and Jesus are one in the same. But Jesus, the man who walked the face of the earth, surrendered that power willingly so that he could request it from God, and God worked through him. So we would see the example, submission. Now you see, Jesus walked a harder life than we probably thought before we heard this, didn't he? Because see, he had to do it with God, not without him. Too many Christians want to do it without God, and that's prideful. I can take it from here, God. No, you can't. Not if God called you to do it. If there's anything that God is asking you to do, you can't do it without him. He won't let you. You weren't designed that way. We, as Christians, must be humble too. We avoid Satan's snares by doing those things that are pleasing to God and by giving him first place in our lives. James 4, chapter 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your coworker. Don't worry about your disgruntled friends or family members. Humble yourself in front of God. He's the one that's going to lift you up. He's the one that's going to raise you to the top. The top of what? The top of spirituality. We don't follow God for temporal, materialistic things. We follow him for a relationship, a friendship, a loving friendship. And why wouldn't he lift you up into his presence and give you all the love that you desire and need? That's true. That's true lifting up, isn't it? When God lifts you up into his presence and you feel him there. Number three, don't stoop to the devil's level. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Someone does something bad to you, don't say, I won't pay them back. Oh, that dirty rat, I'm going to get you. No. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Now, Pastor, you don't know what this guy or this woman's doing to me. You don't know, Pastor. You're right. I don't know everything about what's going on in your life, but I know some things that's happened in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. When you put the principle of overcoming evil with good, that's when you get the blessings. That's when you get the spiritual blessings from God. That's when you start growing as a Christian. When you start looking at your enemy and saying, you know, I don't like this, what you're doing to me. I don't like it. And it ain't right. But I'm not going to do evil back to you. Now, I'm not saying don't defend yourself, but defend yourself God-like. You pray about what God wants you to do. And you listen to what God wants you to do. Payback is up to God. It's up to God to get you out of evil.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.